Well, I too would like to say good morning and greet each one in Jesus' name again this morning. Certainly it's good to be here and to worship together with you all here. As we were sitting in the beginning of the service this morning and we sang the second song, Down at the Cross Where My Savior Died, and we sang that glory to his name, I thought about changing my topic for this morning because truly, that's why we're here. We're together this morning because of Jesus and because he did a work in our hearts. And I trust that you are here this morning, not just simply because you feel you ought to be here, because you feel others are going to question where you were if you're not in a worship service on Sunday morning. But I trust you're here this morning with a heart that wells up in adoration to your God, and a heart that wants to somehow or another show to God through worship that you love him and that you appreciate what he did for you and what he's doing for you today. I trust that God is honored today and want him to be honored and magnified as we go through the worship service again this morning. Now, as I was thinking about, Joe and I were talking yesterday and he asked me to share this morning, I was thinking about worship service here. If you would have asked me a few months ago about preaching here, I would have probably stood up and said that it's good to be back home again. But the reality is that God has called us to another location. And I began, as I was pondering a message this morning, I began to realize that God has called us into individual groups in different locations. And those places become home as we begin to serve God, as we put our roots down. Those areas become home. And no longer do we look necessarily at our old places as home. But I wanted to say that it is good to be back to be with you. And as I think about the service this morning, especially thinking about Ellie and Vishai and their time with us here, when we heard about the service this morning, yeah, Michelle and I said, we want to come. And so we made plans to make that happen. I just thinking a little bit about the history here, just for interest's sake, thinking about Ellie and Vishai and your part here in the congregation here, I dug out my notes because I had some conflicting thoughts about how long this has been. And I found it interesting that back in April of 2011, I had an application from Sister Ellie asking for church membership, and enjoyed thinking about all the things that have happened in our congregational life, some that have been pleasant, some that have been less than pleasant, some that have caused us to grow, some sorrowful occasions, and also enjoyments that have come over the past number of years. But as I thought about that, as I thought about our congregation, your congregation here at Mount Joy and our part in this congregation, each one of us as we become part of a body and we plug ourselves in, I thought, my mind went to the book of Ephesians. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, and I'd like to begin reading at verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 2, and thinking about us and our local congregation and our part, each one of the part that each one of us plays inside the church that we have chosen to be part of. I'd like to break in reading here at verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to make it clear that I believe that each one of us here today fall under the category that he's talking about when he talks about the Gentiles. I'm not trying to say that somehow or another we have the Mennonites and those that do not have a Mennonite heritage behind them. I'm not bringing that point out at all, but I believe each one of us falls into this category of being lost outside of Jesus Christ, and we're Gentiles. So I want to start here at verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 2, and we want to read to the end of the chapter. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, or that was the Jews, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. I believe that's each one of us here this morning. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's our hope this morning as Christians, for he is our peace, and hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I want to just focus primarily on these last four verses here this morning. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I want to use the center of that last verse as the title of the message this morning. I've titled the message, Builded Together for an Habitation of God. This morning I'm excited about the fact that in Christ Jesus we have an identity. We are no longer individuals. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're not out there as individual islands like we were before we were willing to fall down and be broken before Jesus Christ. As we found ourselves at that time of our lives when we were not willing to yield to Jesus Christ, we were individual islands. We didn't have a connection. We felt like everything surrounded around me, but yet we felt empty. But this morning, I'm excited about the fact that as a Christian, we are builded together for an habitation of God. We are part of an organized effort. We are part of a beautiful assembly of saints, which is the church. This morning, while each one of us individually is important, while each one of us individually is somebody, and Jesus died for each one of us individually, and each one of us had to choose to put our allegiance with Jesus. We had to choose to allow him to do a work in our hearts. This morning, we are builded together for a habitation of God, and we have this great privilege of being part of the body and the habitation of God, the temple of God here on earth. I'd like to look at the message this morning in three parts. I'm going to take the title, we're going to start with the first couple words, and then we're going to build on to it. And so first of all here, we want to think about that we are builded together. We talked a little bit about the fact that of our individuality outside of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't always stop there. In the world, in society around us, in the churches, and I think sometimes even inside of our Mennonite churches, we begin to court the idea of a gospel that is a me and Jesus type of gospel. It's a save me religion. Down at the cross where the Savior died, it's about me. And we could stop there. And there are lots of churches around us that do that. And the main goal is to get your name on the roll as a Christian and you're a member there, but not really in subjection to the church body. You're simply a member there just to have your name on the roll. And we have this individualistic mentality. But this morning, it says here in our title, we are builded together. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 18 and just read a couple verses in Matthew chapter 18, thinking about this thought of being builded together. We always turn to Matthew 18, thinking about relating to resolving differences between brothers. But then I'm just going to grab a couple verses here in Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I believe this verse, Jesus is speaking specifically, but I believe this verse is just a little snapshot into God's plan for the church. And Jesus is saying that he's establishing a picture of what the church is going to be like. And he says there's going to be several of you working together. It's not going to be an individualistic society, but it's going to be a group effort. It says, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I don't think he's given us an ideal of, you know, keep small groups here and there, keep them small. But he's simply saying, blending our views, working together, focusing on serving God as a group, as a body, is part of seeking God's blessing. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2, right along with this thought here of being builded together, looking at the example of the scriptures and how God shows us through his example of the New Testament church of what took place there as people were saved. I think we're just going to break in at verse 45 and read down to 47. It's talking about the people that were together. It says that they continued in verse 42, says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread, and then skip down to verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is another example of the fact that we're builded together and intended to become part of a church body. So what happened in this case when men became Christians? They banded together. They put their hearts, they put their possessions, in this case here, and they joined together. And it says the Lord added to the church, the local body there, such as should be saved, or those that chose to follow Jesus Christ. And we could look at quite a few different other examples of this. And one of the things that shows that it was an ongoing work this way, it wasn't just what happened in Acts, is there's a lot of teaching in the New Testament scripture that talks about, I'll just give an example, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of peace shall be with you. That tells me there was a unified effort. Be of one mind. I think in Philippians chapter 2, there's some other example of that where it says, Philippians 2 talks about fulfilling his joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So we have these verses here that talk about being builded together as a church body. Now I'm going to move on to the next part here. We're going to add another word to our title here. So it says our title is being builded together for inhabitation of God. So we're going to look at builded together for. We're going to add that little three-letter word, for. Now, any time that we're reading about anything and we come across this little three-letter word, for, it sort of changes the dynamics of it. We can have a lot of stories going on. We can be talking about something, but it's always interesting to see what happens after the letter for, that little word for, those three letters, F-O-R, for. Because that changes the dynamics, and it says we do it this way, And why do we do it this way? For, and we have a reason behind it. So this three-letter word adds a little dimension, a new dimension, to the picture that we have here of the being builded together. God has a reason for placing us together. We are builded together for a purpose. God has a reason for establishing this church family right here at Mount Joy. This family is here for a purpose. There's a work to be done. We are builded together for, and the list could be, we could start numbering off the list, but there's lots of different reasons. I want to just think back to our account there, the text there in Ephesians chapter 2, where we have that verse 22 there where it talks about being builded together for an habitation. But earlier in that chapter, he uses the word picture, and he says that the body being fitly framed together. Body being fitly framed together. And then we go on and he says that we're builded together for an habitation of God. I'd like to just think about this concept of the body being fitly framed together. And I was just thinking about a practical application of that. I'm not a builder, so it's a little bit harder for me to maybe put this into a mental picture for you when we think about being fitly framed together. But I know that as I go down through the local Lowe's store there in Adrian, and I'm trying to work on projects, I see a lot of different materials there. When we're thinking about a building being fitly framed together, there's lots of different pieces there. But when I go down through the aisles at Lowe's there, I go down through and I see, you know, we have 2x4s, we have 2x6s, we have plywood, we have siding, shingles, all those things, windows. And this morning, just to make a little practical application, being fitly framed together, together for a purpose, I want us just to think for a little bit. Suppose that you knew someone who was, you met them and you realized they were sleeping outside this past week. It was cold out there, and there was this individual who was sleeping outside. And you thought, well, you know what, if he had some shelter, I mean, this is terrible. We need something. If you had some shelter, and so you went down to your local Home Depot here in Salem, and you walked down through there, and you saw this nice big window, and you said, that'll work. And you just bought this man a window. Nice window. It could be a triple pane. It doesn't matter. But you brought this window, and you went out to him, and he's there, and you said, here's a window. I want you to have some shelter from the cold, and you gave him a window. How much good would that really do? I mean, he could set it up to kind of block the wind, but how much good would it do? But think a little bit farther. If you take and you gave him some more building supplies, you gave him some 2x4s, a couple sheets of plywood, maybe some shingles, maybe a door, and you had this window, now you have something to which you can make a shelter. And this morning, I want us, as we're thinking about that, I want to just think a little bit about this idea of being builded together for inhabitation, builded together for. And I want us to think just a little bit about God and his wisdom in establishing a congregation to be builded together. And thinking about this words of being fitly framed together. And this morning I want us to realize that I want us just to think about the different gifts that we see inside of a group of individuals, a church body. Think about the diversity of gifts. There's some of us that, you know, we're sort of like the nails. We're in there. We'd rather be behind the scenes. We'd rather not be up front. But we're steady. We're there. We're going to hold the church together. We're not going to allow the gossip to get passed on. We're stopping it right here. There's some people who make really good shingles on the roof. When the rains come down, they just shed it off. They knock it out cold. They've got the tradition in their heart. They know that we've done it this way. We're not changing. They're just good shingles, but we need those people. And there's others who are the window to which God's love can pour through to the world. But many times those people, they're a little bit unsteady all by themselves. Many times those types of people, they're good at witnessing, but every once in a while that faithful, solid pillar, those shingles on the roof have to touch them on the shoulder and say, you're getting just a little bit left field. You realize we are non-conformed to this world. And we don't have to be like the world to win them. We need the diversity. And we need those 2x4s inside of our congregation. We're builded together. We're fitly framed together for a purpose. And that is to make a safe place that you and I can exercise our gifts inside that safe place. And yet we can together help each other on to glory. We are builded together because a box of nails or a stack of 2x4s or a window by itself really has very little value. It's just, doesn't really have very much of an effect on the world around us. Can't provide very much to help each other out. Let's look thirdly now. I want to just pull in the last part of this. We're builded together for inhabitation of God. So this isn't just about us this morning. Our congregation, your congregation here at Mount Joy, our little congregation there at Lenawee. It's not just about me. It's about not about me getting through to glory and forget about the rest. It's not about even just us here getting through to glory, which I think needs to be high on our agenda. We want each other there. But it's also to be an habitation for God. We're built together for a habitation, a place that God can dwell, that others can come and enjoy fellowship. They can find God's love right inside these walls because we're builded together for an habitation of God. I don't know what you think about when you think about a habitation of God. But my mind, as I was studying this morning, my mind went back into 1 Kings chapter 8. I don't think we're going to go there this morning. But I think we all know the account there where Solomon had built that temple. And it was a temple that makes this building here look really drab. Looks really conservative. It was a temple that was huge. It was magnificent. It was tall. It was overlaid with lots of gold. It was something that as you came into the city of Jerusalem, you said, wow, who is this God? But Solomon, as he dedicated that temple and as he thought about who God was, and he was trying to build a habitation for God, he said, God, what is this building? And who are these people? He said, you are so great. You are so high. In fact, the heavens can't contain you. The earth, there's no way that we can contain you. And yet here we have this building. And we're asking you, would you humble yourself to live inside this building? So we have that picture. So we think about a habitation for God. We also could turn, I think we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 4 and just read a little bit about what's going on right now in heaven and the habitation of God over there. I'm going to read here in Revelation chapter 4. We're just going to pull out the first 6 verses. This is John writing. This is his vision of God's throne, beginning at verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about it were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And we could go on reading. I'm just going to skip down to verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is just another little snapshot of God and his habitation in heaven. And I think that as John was writing these words, and he talked about there in verse 3, he said, And there sat on the throne one to look on like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. He was just saying it was magnificent, it was intense, it was holy, it was beautiful. He talks there in verse 5 about the thunderings and lightnings and voices. In verse 6, he talks about the sea of glass like unto crystal that was there. But we see that God is a holy God, and God is a God who is pure, and God is a God who inhabits eternity. He is a holy and it's just a beautiful sight here. But yet, in Ephesians chapter 2, in our verse there, 22, he says that we are builded together for an habitation of God. God wants to come, and he wants to have a habitation. He wants to have a cathedral. He wants to have a place where his light goes forth right here in Washingtonville this morning. We know that the Bible talks about each one of our bodies being a temple that God dwells in. God wants to dwell in our hearts individually. And I believe that there is much good that comes from an individual life that is on fire for God. But when you can get a group of believers who are willing to submit to each other and who are willing to have a unified effort, I believe the witness is magnified hundreds of times greater when you have a group, a church body, a local body that is builded together as an habitation for God. We are fitly framed together unto an holy temple in the Lord. God has chosen this group of individuals here to be that holy play, that holy presence in this community. In closing, I want to just go back and read those last 4 verses in Ephesians chapter 4, and then we're going to make a couple more comments. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. As we think about God and his divine workings in our lives, out of all the Christians in the world, God has chosen today to place you together in this church body. God, by his divine appointment, worked out the details to make you be where you are today. He's brought you together because he realizes that there is a beautiful aspect of church life that will be missing if you're not part of this body today. And so he's fitly framed us together and brought this group together in this community for for a habitation of God to send forth his love to the community. As I was thinking about that, you know, there's no leftovers in God's plan. There's no one here this morning sitting on a bench that says, well, that may be true, but I just sort of am one of those that are asked to go along with the flow. I'm just sort of one of those tag-alongs. Maybe I'm just the rug that when you walk in the door that people wipe their feet on. I really am insignificant, but that's not true. God has chosen everyone specifically for a purpose in making this a beautiful habitation of him in this community. This morning, as we think about that, as I was thinking about that, just want to share the fact of the importance of each one individually, and just thinking about Vishai and Ellie and your part here, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in this congregation, Ellie, as you plugged into this community and this congregation here. You know, people don't just move on to another community and two Sundays later, you know, we're back to normal. It doesn't happen that way. But each individual has a place, and it takes time and it takes God's plan to replace them. We're going to lose, you're going to lose here at Mount Joy, a steady, faithful sister in the congregation that we appreciate. And there's going to be another congregation, if God continues to lead and continues to direct, that's going to gain one. And may God bless each one of us, especially Ellie and Vishai, as you find your way in another community. But may God bless each one of us as well. And help us to rise to the challenge, to be willing to be whatever God calls us to be right here in this community. May God bless you. May God go with us as we continue throughout this day. And may we continue to be part of that little flame, that little light in the community that God calls us to be part of. Let's kneel for prayer at this time.